is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Toronto trying to tie it up against Ottawa, who dearly need the 2 points in this one. Score! They have tied it up. They have tied the game here in Toronto.
Well, just as Bob Cole said, the Ottawa Senators need the 2 points in tonight's game. Lo and behold, yes, a blast from the past, a refreshing one. A little too late, but give full marks where credit is due. They made Air Canada Center. Well, we'll find out how much they made it sing, how much they made it rock today. The Toronto Maple Leafs, a 4-3 overtime win against the Ottawa Senators. The first career hat trick by Tyler Bozak. The big line being the big line once again as we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, of course, we always welcome your calls at 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. I'm interested to hear from people down in tonight's game. I'm just curious. I always am curious about the crowd, the noise, the ambience, what it was like. We were doing the game from the studio tonight, and on TV talked about it kind of being like a morgue early on, but it seemed like it was rocking at the end. So 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590.
I'd have to say the ambiance was pretty good at the end of the game because here's the conflicted Toronto Maple Leaf fan that I think are, you know, a little bit, let's say, they don't mind if the Maple Leafs lose because, again, the more they lose, the closer you get to Connor McDavid. But then if you start to win and it was like, oh, I don't know if we want to do it. But against the Ottawa Senators and the Battle of Ontario, I think they got into it towards the end of the game. And one thing that we can say, Gord, it's been a long, long time coming where the third period was enjoyable to watch. You saw pushback by the Maple Leafs. The overtime was very exciting. And finally, the top line has returned to the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's been 3 months of disappearing. And lo and behold, with Bozak with 4 points, JVR 4 points, Kessel with 3 points, that line combined for 11 on the night and got the job done.
Maybe it's like a real spring weather. It kind of snuck a little glimmer of it. Hopefully it's here to stay. But that was exactly, it was 2-0 for the Ottawa Senators after two periods of play. So if the Leafs were still in the playoff hunt, you would have been looking about coming back from two-goal leads, coming back from disadvantages after two periods of play, all those other types of things. Giving us a call at 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590, a 4-3 overtime win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. Benji in Thornhill. Hey, Benji.
Hey, how are you tonight?
We're good. It was like we said, caught us by surprise, a very pleasant surprise to finish.
So I guess my first question is, you know, I personally, I'm not sure where Reimer fits in here and if Reimer is going to be with us for the long haul. He's perhaps a little bit underrated. My second question is, how good do you think a line of McDavid, Duclair, and Domi would look if McDavid ends up in Phoenix? Your thoughts on those?
Okay, well, Ozzie, I'll flip it to you in a second. First of all, whoever gets McDavid, as I've said, you can get 19 guys from a rec league hockey team, and you'll have a good team. I mean, you've literally won the lottery. And so, yeah, all those guys, great prospects for the Arizona Coyotes. And I'm glad this will be out of the way the first Saturday on the draft because or the playoffs, so you can figure it out and not the unrequited hope doesn't continue for the other teams that ultimately don't get them. Morgan Rielly, it's funny, I was debating with Jeff Blair the other day, and I, you know, debate about him moving forward or not this year. I like more what I've seen of Morgan Rielly than negative. I do agree, like everybody, he got dragged down his play anyway for a chunk during the losing time.
Well, but yet what we see out of Morgan Rielly is we see and we hear and we understand the character. Character for me, Gord, is right up there with the skill level and the ability to skate the puck, think the game, has good offensive instincts. But in a situation where he has not been mentored properly with guys around him, he's watched some of the better players above him simply not address the approach to the game in a proper way, right? So So thankfully that he's had a guy like, and I would say he's learned some stuff from Stefan Robidoux, who's been out. Stevie Stais has been a very positive influence on a guy like Morgan Riley. And so there's a lot to work with.
Roman Polak probably too, in a different way. Yeah,
probably Roman Polak as well. And I'm sure Brendan Shanahan even has had his moments with Morgan Riley in a most positive way. Simply, you would do that with a Hall of Fame guy, knowing that you have a future in a young player. That's what you want to do as far as just building him up. Getting back to the question was about our goaltender, James Reimer. He was saying, what's the future of James Reimer? And again, he's got 1 year left on his contract, and it remains to be seen. They're still going to give Jonathan Bernier an opportunity next year. I don't know what his contractual situation, how long it will be for, but does James stay a part of the mix? I think James is a team player. He does stay with the mix. These young guys in Gibson and Bebo are not ready for National Hockey League level. And so I don't know where else we can go with that. James has always had good success against Ottawa. So he stays in. He's down 3-1. They find a way to win in overtime. And then the last part was the whole McDavid thing. You know what? As much as I'd like to see him here, I mean, the chances of that aren't very good. Regardless, if 10%, 13%, it's not very good. I don't mind the fact. I'm looking at the big picture of the game of hockey. And again, as a friend, as looking at Arizona, the challenge that they had there, this would be a big boost for a team like Arizona to get a guy like McDavid. Wherever he goes, it's going to be positive for that organization, that franchise, the game in general, because it's all about the 30 teams that are in the National Hockey League. And if you can improve some areas where it slipped a little bit, I'm okay with that, because that's what the game's all about. It happened in Pittsburgh. It's happened in Carolina. Those teams have won with star players, and so that's good for hockey.
Well, you know, kidding around somewhat, or tongue-in-cheek chatting with different people and people involved in the game, though, if he came to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it is a partnership now between the NHL and NHLPA as far as revenues go, and I tell you, the sky's the limit as far as playoff games, all those other things, all these things, if you finally get... Sorry, I knocked your computer over earlier when I was there. Is it not working?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's out now.
I put it back up.
I'll do this game by memory.
I'll push that button. Well, I was on the second intermission there. I don't know what happened. I moved the mic down. I was trying to do the George Russick and kind of lie back in my chair when I chatted with Roger Lajoie. But anyway, people kid about that. The lottery started, the weighted lottery or whatever it was, in the NBA because they believed that the NBA with the envelopes had a conspiracy to let the New York Knicks get Patrick Ewing first overall all those years ago. Yeah. So people saying if there's a conspiracy theory, it should be the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. There is no conspiracy theory. I believe the Toronto Maple Leaf fans deserve Connor McDavid, just like I believe the Winnipeg Jet fans deserve a playoff game more than any of the other 29 teams this year. So we'll have to wait and see about it. But James Reimer is the easiest decision. There's no decision. Second year of a 2-year contract. So he's not one of those guys that these long contracts they're bogged down with. He'll be back next year. I'm just a huge fan of this guy. This is a guy that simply got called up years ago under tough circumstances, won games, was the reason they made the playoffs against Boston. Always a hugely positive attitude, a great backup to have.
Isn't that what you want? That's what you want. Those are the kind of people you do want in your organization, regardless if, you know, and whatever the consensus is on James as a goaltender, a starting goaltender, would he be better on a better team? Of course, any of these particular goaltenders, you put them in a lineup that has good defensive structure, posture, all sorts of things like that, you would think that they would actually be better, not seeing as many quality shots. But again, we've seen the likes of the Curtis Joseph generation where he thrived on a lot of work, right? He was a better goalie because of that. And so, yes, moving forward, you talk about a lack thereof of character, leadership in this particular organization, and it has to be a given. You have to have some of these guys that have endured this mess for a number of years. James Reimer is that guy. And again, he'll help any of the young goaltenders, any of the players. He's a team guy, and that's what you want in James Reimer.
Interesting. Now, we mentioned Tyler Bozak gets his first career hat trick. Then the overtime goal is scored by Eric Brewer, his second of the season. He was also a +2. He played 20 minutes, 57 seconds. And interesting when you talk about character and all those other things, he seems to be exuding a lot of that. And on the veteran side, for the first time these last couple of games, because I thought he really struggled early on when he came over in the trade, you start to think, I wonder if that's not, again, this isn't a guy for the future, and to win the cup with if you're going that way, but a character guy to have for another year or two.
But let's face it, moving forward, as you look at the players that were acquired over the last number of years, whether it's in the offseason and getting guys like Winnick, Santarelli, and the list goes on and on. Before that, Jay McClement. And we could pencil in guys like that. The reason why they went and got Pollock, Robida, is for some of those leadership intangibles that you do need. Now, I told you this off air that Eric Brewer has caught my attention just from maybe addressing the media in his 1,000th game, that he articulated and spoke very well. I don't know anything about Eric Brewer. I've watched his play progressively get better. Paired with Dion Phaneuf, I think he looks very legitimate. And you put all of those things together moving forward to next year. We don't know what's going to happen, but if you do move a guy like Dion Phaneuf, you need somebody to on the back end. I rather doubt that you're moving Dion and getting a defenseman in return, and yet it's an appealing thing to already have a guy in place here that has been a captain before, that hasn't been, I think, tarnished or infected by the terrible stuff that's gone on for an extended period of time. He's only been subjected to this for a short period of time. So I'd have time moving ahead with a veteran guy on not very much money to pair Eric Brewer. And that would be an appealing thing for him, would it not, to work with some of these young guys?
I think it would. Yeah. We'll find out in the off season, but it's certainly part of what you do this for is you get a test drive with a guy. And certainly Drew Stafford's an excellent example in Winnipeg. What a great test drive he's been having in Winnipeg, and in a different way, Eric Brewer here with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, a 4-3 overtime win for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, like I keep shaking my head, Oz, saying the third period, like, where's this line been? Mm-hmm. Like the speed, the breaks. I mean, how much was it the Ottawa Senators stopped skating?
Combination. I said that a combination of the Maple Leafs looked like they all of a sudden became engaged. And you look at Tyler Bozak's game, for instance, that as much as the criticism has been levied towards Phil Kessel, and rightly so, I mean, Tyler Bozak's been a disappearing act for a number of months. And we've, you know, to the point of which you suggested the other day that, you know, you're going to begin by moving pieces like a Tyler Bozak. 16-1 on the draws tonight. like talking about puck possession and you know, arguably one of the better games he's played in as a Maple Leaf, I'd guess, with scoring his first ever career hat trick, almost getting the fourth goal, went off the post before Eric Brewer came in and banged in the rebound. So a 4-point night, 16-1 on the draws. You're the guy who really has to get your wingers going. It's so incumbent upon the centerman. And so there you go. I don't know where they've been, but it does go to show you when you feel good about yourself, and you get some of that confidence going, you feel like you can score almost every shift. And that's what it felt like, certainly in that third period in overtime.
Well, and how guys play the end of the season, again, I don't know how it plays out or not, how much this factors in given the abysmal stretch that they've had before this. But Tyler Bozak, as a hockey commodity on the ice, 3 years left at relatively reasonable dough, a number one center is the role he's played for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you would hope you could get something decent back. Again, You're trading from weakness if you're Dave Nonis or Brendan Shanahan right now, regardless how the season plays out. But as I mentioned, the two guys I see going are Dion Phaneuf, and Tyler Bozak. And that's no reflection about them personally or anything. I think, as I've said, Phaneuf for humanitarian reasons, I think, when you talk about changing the culture. And then in Bozak's case, you've got to upgrade the number one center spot. It's just that plain and simple. And he happens to be the number one center, and it needs upgrading.
Okay, and the thing that I think is really important in the equation of just human nature in general, and we look, if Tyler Bozak does not have this particular game like he did tonight, like, this gives any general manager a little bit of a reminder.
A little refresher, right? You're right.
It does. Like, I mean, if these guys went the entire, end of the season these last couple of weeks and did nothing, I mean, I think your value becomes even more and more diminished. At least this somewhat gives you a little bit more leverage, if in fact he's a guy maybe that you're considering to move, or however the direction of this club decides to move forward in the future.
Well, all you need is two bidders. That's all you need, two suitors. And Tyler Bozak, I would think there'd be teams saying he'd be a great number two center for them. You know, it's funny, years ago when you talk about when you were with the New York Rangers, and I remember talking to a couple of agents, and again, all it takes is two bidders. There was no cap back then. But for about a year or two, there would be a thing where...
I differ.
You differ about what?
I differ about Tyler Bozak perhaps being a suitor or being a very enviable second-line center on any other team. He has yet to prove to me that he can play with anybody but Phil Kessel in a number one role.
Well, then
like, whether you like that or not, I don't know if Tyler Bozak, removed from Phil Kessel, can go into any other organization and be an effective second-line center.
Well, then, if you're one of the 29 other general managers, then you're not in. That's fine. I just want to say, I remember an agent, it's funny, back, and why I use your era is because the bitterness when Mike Keenan left and went to St. Louis, so from the New York Rangers. Like, I remember an agent talking, he had no contract for some guy, so he just put the, you know, they used to send out on the telex, any interest in Gord Stellick. That was almost a desperate plea that, and so one of the two teams had an interest, New York or St. Louis. So immediately when they did, a bid comes from the other team because they're pissed at each other, right?
Right, right.
And so from one day not having an offer to all of a sudden a week later getting a real way better contract than he ever thought for this role player. And I'm just saying that there's been stranger things that have happened that way. But we'll see how that, you know, plays out, because I agree with you. I'm Tyler Bozak, we called him the accidental number one center. He clicked with, that's a little bit unfair.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, maybe that's a little bit harsh for me and saying, oh, man, I watch this kid all the time. But then again, you back up and you look at the other teams in the National Hockey League, or let's say the bottom 15 of the National Hockey League, or the bottom 14 or whatever you want to call it. You know, take him to an obscure center, say in... Where do you want to go? New Jersey. Say New Jersey, and you look at their depth, and you say, how would Tyler Bozak fare in a place like New Jersey? Or put him in Colorado with some of those young guys and say, let's get Ryan O'Reilly here. You know, is that a fit there? What kind of a player does he become with other players in another organization? Is he legitimate? Is he good enough? Who knows? I don't know.
Well, anyway, he got the hat trick tonight. First career hat trick, and we said Phil Kessel as well. Phil Kessel got the assist. They were the stars, and Eric Brewer getting the game-winning goal. Nazem Kadri's first game back, I know he was a plus one. Let me double-check his ice time. Okay, he went 18
minutes.
Yeah,
looked a little bit rusty. Had a couple of opportunities. What else do you want me to say?
I just want to get Peter in Toronto on. How you doing, Peter?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I really just want to ask a really simple question, and that is, what was the purpose of getting rid of Randy Carlyle? Like, what was the ultimate objective? Was this the objective? Was this the goal? I mean, Brendan Shanahan, I think, is a pretty smart guy. You know, I think he would be able to determine, you know, what kind of players the Leafs are and have and what he needs. But what was the reasoning? I don't understand it.
Well, at the time, first of all, Brendan Shanahan's a smart guy. How he is as far as overseeing a hockey team remains to be seen. We'll find out. I hope that counts in spades here. In Toronto, I still remain puzzled why the character or what was missing in this team wasn't identified by Dave Nonis or Brendan Shanahan, or maybe that's unfair to throw on them. I don't know, but that's been a big miss that way. If my memory serves correct about Randy Carlyle, Oz, they were still in the playoffs, and I believe the move was made predicated that they had to play a better defensive style, and they were still talking about making the playoffs. It was not made to start any kind of Tank Nation going, because this has not been a 82-game Tank Nation, so it's not even a really complete Tank Nation if that's what you were aspiring for.
Well, I think when it started was maybe towards the end of November, when the players, I think, were becoming upset with Randy Carlyle, complaining about things are too hard, we're getting tired. He doesn't quite understand or know the tact of when we need rest and all that kind of stuff. I heard that stuff, and so if you remember, Randy started to, I think, cater to the players a little bit and say, okay, we're going to do things your way, because look at what's transpired already. My assistant coaches are no longer here, right? You gave me other coaches. We've got off to a decent, well, the start of the season wasn't very good, but they got it going. They started scoring goals. They were trending in a real good direction, and yet the players were now taking more initiative. The whole communication layer, right, started to change with what the players wanted and all this kind of stuff. Brendan Shanahan, whatever was addressed in the offseason to address a different voice. No, not having assistant coaches that are barkers. I know I'm going long-winded on this, but I'm trying to put everything in perspective for the caller here, of which then they started to have days off and optional practices, and then they started trending in the wrong direction. And that was the way that Brendan Shanahan basically qualified the position of why they fired Randy Carlyle. Five games over 500, and they were tuning him out at that time. So then again, a different voice. They thought the change of putting Horchuk, who had been a former National Hockey League coach, was a coach under Barry Trotz. All of those things appear to have been a positive spin on things, and still believed on the team and hoping that this team would respond with a different voice and a different approach. And it's completely gone the opposite direction.
And the one little thing I'll throw out there is when the change was made, it was two games after a big win to end the new year in Boston. And you had injuries to Joffrey Leupel, Leo Komarov, who have not been anywhere close to themselves since they came back. And even to a much lesser degree, Nazem Kadri. He missed a few games. But, you know, still, I mean, those were three pretty significant injuries. Then went on the West Coast trip where they seemed to be committed initially to playing the type of system. But
even before that, like when they came back after Christmas, James Reimer went into the net in Florida. They had a 2-goal lead, right, and lost that game. Same thing in Tampa Bay, lost that game. They were fortunate to win in Boston that night. Then they started to say, we played pretty well in Minnesota. And I'm going, really? They played well in Minnesota? Then it was the debacle in Minnesota or in Winnipeg, and that was the end of Randy Carlyle. Yeah. They quickly decided that we've seen enough already, or we're going to salvage this season. Brendan, with no experience, decided that this is going to be a bold move, and then we're going to respond in a positive direction. And having Cliff Fletcher on at the beginning of the show here, and he's witnessed this in all of his years in hockey. How many years has Cliff been in the game? Going back to the 60s when the Montreal Canadiens has never been a part of something like this. Never seen it, never experienced it. So what does that say to you? What's occurred here?
Well, absolutely. And I was surprised. Well, I appreciated Cliff's candor because I thought it would be the answer, but I didn't quite say it that way. And it's funny. He goes back, Montreal Canadiens, as you say, and then in 1967, part of the St. Louis Blues organization. And it is one of the more interesting things that the St. Louis Blues were the model second tier, like of the new original six teams back in 1967. Model franchise, Jacques Plante and Glenn Hall in goal, and they made the Stanley Cup final, the first when one of the expansion teams had to, and that's why they're out there for that Bobby Orr goal that was against the Blues. Can you imagine, I don't know whatever day it was, but when they decided to shake things up, they fired on the same day Cliff Fletcher, Scotty Bowman, and Al Arbor. How about that? Three Hall of Famers, the St. Louis Blues fired on that particular day, and they're the one team from that era that hasn't won a Stanley Cup since then, so...
Well, I mean, just further the whole thing and talking to Cliff and still thinking about this, because thinking about a guy who's been involved in the game for so, so many years, and those of us that play the game, you manage the game, you follow this team, you've written about this team and all sorts of things. I guess at the end of the day, what's come to the forefront is either they had an inkling about character or lack thereof of leadership that has simply been further... either confirmed, like that's what's happened here. Is that not right? I mean, look at the comments that Tim Lewicki made in the summer. We're big on talent and low on character. Is that not right? I mean, he said it. We disagreed with him in the context of him voicing that opinion publicly.
No, I didn't. No. He'd been here for 18 months. How was that allowed to continue then? He made big statements about that. They could have traded guys.
It did. These guys got signed a long-term deal.
Well, you could have traded them when the going was good back
in the
fall.
Well, why didn't you?
I don't know.
Why didn't they?
Good question.
Well, because Mr. Lewicki doesn't have any type of experience in the game as far as that. That's not his job.
Well, anyway.
That's not why you hired him.
Well, anyway.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
Are we
I think
going
it
back
is.
To the Richard Petty days of all of a sudden scene?
No. Richard Petty talked about the brand, which I hated that word brand. It's not a brand. It's a hockey
Richard
team.
Did a lot of talking in the early going, and he was involved quite heavily in the verbal discussions of the team, the basketball, the Raptors, the Leafs, and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, but I think he always he dabbled in it, but his move was hiring Babcock and Ferguson, and then he backed out, okay? Because that didn't work out too well. So, but in Lewicki's thing, he talked about changing the culture. Which the only two Canadian teams that have talked about changing the culture are Lewicki with Toronto and Edmonton. And look what they've done. They languish at the bottom. Calgary didn't talk about it. Winnipeg didn't talk about it. Vancouver didn't talk about it. Montreal didn't talk about it. They just went out there and did stuff on the ice. And that's what you got to do. Talk, talk, talk.
Right.
So anyway, the last thing I want to bring up about Cliff, because I want to ask you, because this is from my brother Bob, who worked with the Leafs. Back then when Cliff came on in 91-92, and you were a player on the Leafs then. And Bob's memory is, because Cliff's a nice guy. He's got that personality, very well-liked and easygoing and friendly. But Bob's memory is Cliff was kind of grouchy when it started. because that team was terrible at the start. Tom Watt was the coach. It was terrible.
I wasn't here yet. Cliff brought me in here.
Oh, that's right.
I was
part of
the trade.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Okay. You were part of the turning around part.
Thank you, Gordon.
You're welcome. So anyway, okay, you don't remember it. So anyway, but Bob just said Cliff was.
No, but I can speak to it.
Yeah, Cliff was just a grouchy guy a lot of times, but he was around a lot. He was around. He was embedded in the team. So when you're embedded in the team, you get 5 minutes to talk to a player, 5 minutes to talk to a trainer, 5 minutes to talk to
a
scout.
He was embedded with the team, so we understand who he had.
Absolutely.
What the cards were that he was dealt with and what he was going to do to address it and to change it.
But
I
didn't see neither Brendan Shanahan nor Dave Nonis as embedded. When you want to learn about the team, you got to be here and with the team. And Bob would say one time after a game, he came down, a terrible effort, and he started yelling at the guys.
Yep.
And he said, you get out there, sit in your stalls, and you're going to answer to the media. Guys had to get out of the shower. They're dripping wet. And all of a sudden, the guys come in, and Cliff's just saying,
well,
when
you've won Stanley Cups and stuff, you could do that. And people listen. And he did that, and he held people accountable, which they copped to. It was different. I mean, we're now dating ourselves, right? 24 or so years. But, okay, and I asked him this question about where do you start in building an organization? What did the things that he said? I wish I still had my sheet because I wrote them down that he said first and foremost was some of the things where, you know, goaltenders and veteran players, goaltenders. So what did he do? What was the first thing that he did?
Traded for Grant Fuhr.
There you go. Okay. And veteran players that knew how to win.
Yeah. Glenn Anderson, even though it cost you Vinny Downfus and that, but he made
talked about Rick Walmsley, Jamie McCowan, Rick Natras. Those guys had all won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
As did Anderson and Dougie and all those guys. So there you go. That began the passion returning to the Maple Leafs, right?
Well, the passion will return. We'll take a break, come back. The passion will return on Leafs Nation postgame. They won a 4-3 overtime victory. Exciting finish, to say the least, at Air Canada Center. We'll come back. We'll hear from head coach Peter Horacek, talk to people down at the game, a number of the principals involved, and also update you on the out-of-town scoreboard. So it seemed like a good day for the Boston Bruins with what happened to Ottawa and what happened to the Florida Panthers, both teams having leads and having to settle for 1 point at the end of the day. This is Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Analysis and insight that you can't get anywhere else. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
He's gone around on an angle, but nevertheless played it back well. Off the goalpost, empty net, score! Four came in from the blue line. And the Maple Leafs have defeated the Ottawa Senators in overtime.
You welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And yes, the call by Bob Cole in overtime. Eric Brewer gives the Toronto Maple Leafs a 4-3 win over the Ottawa Senators. Of course, Tyler Bozak got the hat trick. I think it's Lance Hornby that came up with the clever how the Leafs are going back to get. They've added legendary Toronto Maple Leaf names in Brewer, Bailey,
and Horton.
And Horton.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Brewer, Bailey, and Horton.
Trying to ignite something.
In this case, it's Eric Brewer. I don't know how many goals in overtime Carl Brewer got, but Eric got one tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, of course, as we move on to chat about things, nice to be talking after a winning game with our friend Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. How you doing, Chris?
I'm great, guys. That was actually a pretty fun game to watch, especially for the last period. A little bit of overtime there.
Now, Ozzy always gets annoyed when I try to get the I am always just curious about the the crowd mood, whatever. It seemed, I would think, pretty cool
on this.
Well, I'm curious. It's such a weird animal. We've not experienced many situations being this far out of the playoffs and a lot of people wanting the team to tank. So I'm curious, was it how quiet it was early on and then how loud was it at the end?
Well, I guess the first thing I noticed is when Ottawa got its first goal from Stone, there was a lot of fans there. Like I didn't notice it so much in terms of jerseys, but when they scored, you could realize there was a lot of them there because they were, you know, cheering. But certainly once the Leafs got going in the third period and Bozak got them on the board, it turned out, I guess, he got awarded all three goals in that period. You know, it did get quite lively. And you know, while I know there's a pretty big faction, I think, or some faction out there that it was happy with the team losing at this point, it wasn't that way for the guys in the building, the people that were here. I think we're enjoying that, and we're excited about Leafs getting a win.
So, Chris, what did it for Bolzac, Kessel, Van Riemsdyk? Was it David Booth yesterday challenging and having enough of Phil Kessel along the half wall? I mean, what did it to actually engage these guys to, you know, ironically go back to, wow, this is the guys that we were used to seeing for so often and for so long, and yet they disappeared, but tonight it was like the old line.
Well, if you look at this team, I mean, it's pretty clear, you know, certainly beyond the first line, or that they don't have a lot. So if they're going to be winning games, it's going to have to come from those guys. And you know, there's two ways of looking at tonight's performance. I mean, they played fantastic. You know, I thought they had a couple good shifts in the second period that maybe foreshadowed a little bit of what was to come. But certainly in the third period in overtime, they took over that game. And we haven't seen that. So, you know, part of me looks at it, you know, wow, those guys really were playing. But the other part goes, where has that been? Because we haven't seen near enough of those types of performances, you know, during this long, prolonged losing run. And, you know, I really think yesterday, you know, dangerous probably to read too much into it, but Phil initiated the whole thing yesterday. Phil started that wrestling match at practice. And, you know, I got a sense that maybe he just finally had enough. And he boiled over yesterday. And, you know, here he is tonight with 3 points. And obviously his centerman, Tyler Bozak, finishes with a hat trick and an assist on the winner in overtime.
So next year we want Phil to have 82 brawls in practice. Would be better for the Toronto Maple Leafs again. Now, on the other side, we know guys, they've got to figure out what to do with the Kessels, the Bozaks, JVR, you name it. They've got long-term contracts ahead of them. Eric Brewer gets the game winner. And Ozzy was mentioning, Ozzy played, he's got a better eye for it, that a tough trade initially, but he seems to be a lot more at home last couple of games. What do you think his future is as far as signing with the Leafs or just in general?
Well, his future is certainly in doubt, I think, beyond this season. It's been a pretty miserable year for him, being traded a couple times, having a broken foot while he was playing in Anaheim, and really just hasn't played very much. And, you know, I think that's always tough on an athlete when they have to sit out a lot, whether it's because of scratches or injuries. And, you know, in his case, I think it was a little bit of both. And he was awful to start his time as the Leafs. I mean, even Peter Horacek, in kind of a rare mood, but, you know, threw him under the bus a couple times. For his performance, but it has come on, I would say, in the last few games. You know, even if he hadn't scored tonight, I would say that. And you know, maybe I think that's kind of what he's playing for. I mean, I haven't asked Eric, you know, kind of what his personal goals are. I know he was very touched by the ceremony the Leafs gave him after his 1,000th game last week. And you know, there's always a chance. I mean, I still think it's unlikely we see him here next year, but there are going to have to be some players. And you know, we know there's going to be a lot of changeover, a lot of kind of a new direction, I think, for the organization. But, you know, some of the veterans are going to have to be back. And, you know, it's probably too early to really tell if he's one of those guys. But I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility. And, you know, at age 35, it's tough to play in this league. And, you know, I think Eric probably wants to get one more year out of it. And it might just be here.
Chris, I'm a little bit surprised on your quote-unquote here right before or after talking about the top line. The Leafs don't have a lot besides the first line, and so that's going to put you on the spot in regards to your buddy Nazem Kadri, who returned after a 4-game suspension. You are a big backer of Nazem Kadri. And,
I happen
to think that he's a part of the future. He's got wonderful leadership. He's in the midst of change. And he's got a wonderful self-evaluation of himself. And so I'm just kind of kidding you, but
no, it's fine.
His performance performance tonight, you know, getting back in the lineup, I mean, obviously a guy that has a skill set like that is a positive addition because, yes, the likes of putting Komarov at center, having Trevor Smith, Zach Sill, Sammy Carrick, I mean, it's just not going to cut it when it comes to Maple Leaf depth up the middle.
No, and I mean, I think Kadri is part of the future here. I still believe that. I mean, it's been a tough month. I mean, there's no denying that him getting that 3-game suspension from the team, that doesn't happen very often. I mean, you know, I struggle to think of the last time we've heard of a team coming out and basically kind of embarrass a player or acknowledge what a player has done and make them sit down. And then, you know, to be sat down 4 more games right after that, after the hit in Edmonton on Matt Fraser. I mean, it's been a tough go, but you know, I think this is a chance for Nazem Kadri to respond to those things. And, you know, I do think he's part of the future here still. I think that he should be playing with Kessel. Maybe not right now, but I think that he is more of a top-line center than Tyler Bozak, although, you know, obviously Bozak had a great game here tonight, so it's not maybe the best time to make that point. But, you know, I do, you know, I haven't changed. I haven't wavered on, I guess, my opinion of him, but it's going to be a big offseason. Probably, arguably, I would say for him more than any other player with this team, in part because he has to work out a contract still. But I do think he has to come back and show that he's in shape, show that he's committed, and show that he's, you know, kind of responded to this challenge from the organization in a positive way. And I do think he'll be the team's top line center next season. In fact, I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case.
On the other side, Chris, and we'll hear from some of the principals in tonight's game, but, you know, same with the Florida Panthers. They had the lead, lost in overtime to the Montreal Canadiens. Even worse in this sense, that this is the kind of point you look back at with Boston winning today to add insult to injury that could be the difference for the Ottawa Senators in making it or not making it in the playoffs.
Well, I would say that in this case, the one good thing for them is they go straight home and play Florida tomorrow. And obviously the implications of that game are huge. I mean, they have a game in hand still on Boston and are a point back of that final playoff spot. So if they win that game, they reclaim it. But also playing Florida, which is a team still kind of on the outside fringes of the race. I mean, that, the kind of stakes of that game are self-evident. And I think the opportunity to get right back at it is something that, you know, Ottawa should benefit from. But this is a huge point loss, though. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. I mean, they blew a two-goal lead with 10 minutes to play in the third period to a team that doesn't come back on anybody, that's been all but dead for 2 months. I mean, there's no way. If you're a Sens fan tonight, I'm sure you're upset. And the players, you know, I was in their room after the game, you know, reflected that. I mean, they know what they gave up here. But, you know, I think at this time of year, when they have 8 games left in the season, all they can kind of do is charge ahead. You can't dwell too much. And they do have an opportunity still where basically they control their own fate. They won their last 8 games. They'd be in the playoffs no matter what. And, you know, I think that's what they're trying to hang their hat on.
Chris, one final question for me, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to see the reaction in Peter Horacek with once that goal went in with Eric Brewer. I mean, I think it was refreshing at least to see the players being genuinely excited. But Peter Horacek, you know, gave a nice little fist pump behind the bench, and so for a season and his future that is definitely not going anywhere beyond this year. I think you got to feel very, very pleased for Peter Horacek.
Yeah, and for Eric Brewer, too. I mean, that might be one of his last kind of moments in the NHL. I mean, I don't wish that upon him, and I know there's a chance he extends his career, but there's no guarantee, certainly in this sport, I don't think, for Peter Horacek or Eric Brewer at this point. And, you know, it really underscores the fact that this is, at the end of the day, for all that we make of it, it's a game, and it's meant to be fun, and the Leafs haven't had much fun. They're not winning enough to get much enjoyment out of what they get to do. And I think it was refreshing for everyone to come here tonight and see them play in a game and really, you know, really, I guess, have a chance to kind of spoil things for the fans. I mean, I was thinking about that on my way down from the press box. And it just always, certain organizations, you see it across sports, and you see it from year to year to year, you always seem to have another organization's number. And the Leafs have kind of had that historically over the Sens. And, you know, that they're coming back here next Sunday, our Ottawa. And I would expect they'll still be right, if not in a playoff spot, right on the fringes as they are now, and at least have a chance to kind of spoil that further. And I think that's what they're trying to embrace here in these final two weeks, because that's all they have left before a long summer and a lot of uncertainty.
Going to let you go, but you brought up one piece. Please find out, because you're good at finding stuff out. Okay, why are they playing on Easter Sunday? Like, seriously. Is that a Tim Leiwicki, we're going to play any night of the week thing? Like, it's a Saturday night deal here.
My friend.
Why?
I think it might have something to do with our bosses in hometown hockey in a national Sunday game, but I'm not sure of that. But I think that's my sense, is that it probably came from our bosses. It's a TV decision, would be my guess.
Okay. Do they have a calendar? Easter? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they don't lay an egg that night. How about that?
Ba-doom, boom.
Ba-doom, boom. There we go. I'll bring my symbol there. Okay. I did well.
Talk to you next Sunday, Gordy.
So you're saying I think it's a great idea. Who had the great idea of having a game Easter Sunday? Can you find that out, please?
Right. We'll go have a nice dinner together and watch the game.
Okay. Hope it's not a turkey. How about that? Okay. I'm out. Over right. And out. Chris Johnson. Why? See, I had my worst material there. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. You regressed a little bit here. Let's talk about the positives here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, at least one. No, it's all good, Gord. It was a, you know, and as you mentioned, you love the whole thing about the atmosphere, the environment. What's the pulse like? What's the sense of things? The empty seats and yada, yada, yada. But the third period, Tyler Bolzac, I mean, a natural hat trick, three goals in the third period, goal pulse, assists on the game winner. And I'm sure for Leaf fans leaving the building, you know, on a night where people have really questioned whether they're getting their money's worth at all, I think the Leafs, Leaf fans and those that paid to watch this game, you know, were entertained. And that was what the game was all about.
You know, again, I know we go back a lot, but I just, because we, the 1980s come into play a lot in comparing this kind of finish to the season. And I look at it that, you know, a couple of years when they didn't make the playoffs, two of the three, I think, Rick Vive scored 50 goals. I mean, pretty incredible, Ricky Vive getting three 50-goal seasons. But, I mean, that you know, there was always something compelling there. I mean, that was a neat goal to go for in a season that you were not going to make the playoffs. And having the young players and seeing them play and, you know, hoping they could grow, in a lot of cases they did. So, you know, I this is why I find this one a little more difficult to handle and quantify. But at the end of the day, when you give the kind of effort like they did today, tonight, in the second period, they didn't score, but they were down 2-0 after two. But how they played in the third and how they played in overtime and, you know, put the odds away about Connor McDavid. It was nice to see people go down, if you're a Leaf fan, be entertained by the hockey and entertained by the result.
I'd agree with you there wholeheartedly. So I know we're getting ready to set to go on our commercial break, and we'll start the show again at 11 o'clock, give you the out-of-town scores. Well, so what else do you want me to give you?
I wholeheartedly look forward to the out-of-town scores.
There's some big scores tonight, some big games.
I know.
LA was in Minnesota. Western Conference complications.
Well, very good. We'll find out more complications, implications, replications, yeah. Whatever it may be. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 4-3 win in overtime for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand, absolutely free. Once the skates come off, it's game on for us. Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Character of this game is going to change just like that.
Not just one goal, but three goals by Tyler Bozak as the Toronto Maple Leafs tied it up in regulation time. Then Eric Brewer scored the game winner in overtime, a 4-3 overtime victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I got to say, I feel as good as Peter Horacek, as Eric Brewer, because you know as well as I know how difficult this season has been. Reporting post-game, 2 hours sometimes and change. What are we going to talk about tonight that we haven't discussed already?
I know. We would say that as we walk to it.
So this is refreshing. I'm like revived. This is unbelievable.
It was, you know, I like seeing Peter Horacek's enthusiasm. Yep. Has he won a game in overtime this year? I mean, he hasn't won many games. I don't know.
Yeah, this is his seventh victory, in case you wanted to know, you didn't know.
I did not know that. Okay, so seven victories. I wonder if any have been in
overtime. There was an overtime one. Don't you remember the pass Olli Jokinen fed James Van Riemsdyk against the Buffalo Sabres? Was that an overtime win? Thank you. Thank you, Gord. You're welcome, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Mark. No, it's the other way around. Thank you, Mark. You're welcome, Gord. Okay, you know what?
Anyways.
Let's hear from the coach. Yep. Peter Horacek, as you said, after the game, it was nice seeing jubilation. And really, in the big picture, not much cause, but tonight, well-earned. Here he is after tonight's victory, Peter Horacek.
Well, they certainly came through big. I mean, I think that was Tyler's first time ever getting 4 points in a game and a hat trick. That's obviously big. And coming through on the power play, coming through late in the game, I mean, those are what you want to see, and that's good for our team.
How much is your patience tested over time with that first line in terms of wait for them to come around and have a good game?
Well, you know, we're always pushing to play this team game, and you want your top line to continue to produce chances and give the opportunities to score. They're not going to score every game, but to create chances is important. I think, you know, most of the time is when you get tested or you want to see more is on the defensive side. And you don't want to see, you know, trading goals. You want to see them, you know, playing a harder, tighter game. Sometimes they're a victim, but sometimes they can do better. But they certainly came through. We got to give them all the credit in the world for coming through in a big game. We talked about these last seven games and, you know, being like a playoff series, and this is game one in our building. So it was great to see them come through.
To that point, Tyler's working faceoffs, for example?
That was huge. I mean, going into the third period, I don't think he lost a faceoff. I don't know what he ended up with, but, you know, those are big stats. I mean, he was winning on the left side and the right side and, you know, winning those draws and then coming through. He had a spectacular game.
Did anything catch your eye about what maybe got them going a little bit tonight?
Well, I think that, you know, I think our guys had a decent first period, but our second period, again, wasn't where we wanted it to be. You don't always have great periods. And it's a 60-minute game, so you have to persevere and stay and get back on. And you know when you're in that situation, we're down two, that you can get one early in the first 10 minutes and you can change the momentum of the game and get back in it. And that's the way hockey's played. And a lot of times you might think that the team played a great game and the coach might think that the second period or the first period or 10 minutes in the period wasn't very good. But when you win, that makes it all better, right? So, you know, we still were looking for consistency of an entire 60 minutes, but you have to persevere. You have to stay with it. When you're down, you know, in your building, you can rally and come back. And good teams have that feeling and that confidence to know that they can come back in games. And some teams, you know, they play a solid game, and when they have a lead, it's hard to protect that lead because they change the way they think, they change the way they play.
Whose idea was the 7-game?
Yeah. Well, we're not in the playoffs, so I was kind of anxious to get in the playoffs. So I think it's a good way to keep the guys focused on playing these games, and I do not want to not just play the games. I want them to play hard. We're playing teams that it means something to, and when they mean something to the other team, you should be at your best.
How easier for you was it tonight with more veteran centers to play with?
Well, I thought that was big. I mean, I rely a lot on Smitty. I think that Sammy Carrick has done a decent job of getting Naz back in the lineup, too. I think that, you know, as he plays, he's going to get better and better. You know, he had his moments of really good and moments where you could see he was rusty. But his focus to want to be good is there. And that's what we want to see out of him. But he's missed, you know, he missed 3 games and then 4 games out of 8. And that's a lot of hockey to miss in a row. So it was nice to have Nazzy back and Smitty back up the middle, and it certainly makes it stronger and you know, better for the penalty-killing side and better on the offensive side.
So is that focus on something you can see on the bench, on the ice?
For Nazzy?
Yeah.
He's a type of guy that wants to do good. He wants to be the guy. He wants to all those things. He doesn't always get it done the way, you know, we and him want him to do it, but he knows that he has to change and he will continue to strive to get there. It's half the battle is to want to do that, get to where you want to be. And if you're, you know, don't really care about getting there and you're just doing it for different reasons, you're not always going to get the most out of it. But if you want to get to that point where he's the guy that's driving things and he's the guy that's relied to and on all those situations, so he's going to get there.
26 minutes for Morgan tonight. Since the beginning of the year, where's he made his greatest strides, Peter, as you continue to trust him more?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we constantly talk about Morgan and his decision-making when he has the puck, and he has a lot of energy when he has the puck on his stick, and he gets going, and he gets up the ice, and he skates so well when he gets up the ice. What we're looking for in him in a lot of situations is to play with that same energy when he doesn't have the puck. So when Morgan goes, you can see he fired. He's out of a cannon, and he wants to go and get up the ice. When he doesn't have the puck, I want him to have that same fire. I want him to defend with that same intensity. And I think that he's made strides, and he certainly has to continue to improve.
You can ask Garrett if he can stay a couple more days to
take yeah. him to the Tampa game. Well, you know, he hasn't lost, so that's a good record. But it was nice to have those things that makes you feel what's important in this world.
Well, there he is, Peter Horacek, talking about tonight's win. Your comments, you had one about Tyler Bozak.
Well, you know what? In particular, what was most impressive about Bozak's game, notwithstanding the fact that he scores a natural hat trick in the third period, assists on the game winner on Brewer. Matter of fact, that hit the post, 4-on-4 hockey, so he was credited with a Brewer assist. Was that he was 16-1 in the faceoff circle.
Wow.
And you talk about the comeback after being down 3-1 in the third by the Maple Leafs and not losing a faceoff in the third period and in overtime. Those are some of the things when it comes down to puck possession and all those kinds of things. I mean, you and I know those are very, very important. But again, you look at this game for Tyler Bozak and up until this point, I mean, now he goes to 45 points. Only 23 assists on the year for a number one center. I mean, 23 assists, Gord. That's not a lot of assists or producing stuff from, you know, trying to be a guy who distributes the puck to guys that are supposed to score. You're on the power play. You're playing over 19 minutes a night in all types of situations. So, again, you go. The team usually goes as good as your best players have gone. The best players have not been good for a long period of time, but on a night when they can be spoilers and certainly Leaf Nation against their rivals in the Battle of Ontario, I think everybody's really pleased that we could be the spoilers, at least against the Sens wearing those particular uniforms, colors, and it's been done before in the playoffs. It just continues right now.
And Peter Horacek alluded to that, wanting the team to compete like it's a best of seven Stanley Cup playoff series for them to finish off the season. Certainly for the guys, they have to be happy not answering the same old, which has come with the territory of losing. So let's hear from some of the players. And Tyler Bozak, as Ozzy mentioned, 16-1 on the faceoffs, but also his first career hat trick in tonight's 4-3 victory.
I mean, obviously the way it's been going, it's nice to get a few bounces and stuff to go in. Most importantly, it's a pretty inspiring night for us with G-Man joining the team and he gave us a huge boost, so it was awesome to get a win for him.
What changed for the line as things got going in the third period for you guys as a trio?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we feel like we haven't been getting a lot of bounces the last little bit, but I mean, that's no excuse. We haven't been playing well enough either, so it's nice to get a bounce there, and then I felt like things started clicking for us as a line, and you know, hopefully we can carry that on the rest of the year and finish strong as a team.
Emotionally a milestone for you. You've been crossbars and goalposts away from 20 before, now to finally get it.
Yeah, it's obviously real nice. Obviously last year, you know, I was stuck at 19 and then missed, you know, 25 games, so it's obviously tough to not get 20 there, but it's nice to get it this year. Obviously it doesn't mean too much the way the season's ended here, but it was nice to get a win and, you know, take a point away from them, which they needed, and we're gonna have to try and play spoilers, I guess, the rest of the way.
You hit crossbar actually in the third period, right? So before you got that.
Yeah, I was pretty mad at that one. Obviously wanted it there. Didn't really expect to get too many more chances after that. And then JVR made some nice plays to me. Phil was playing great, and the D were doing a good job too. And Rimes played great for us as well.
Your hat trick moment got sort of taken away by the late goal.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if Phil touched it. He told me right away he didn't, but it was obviously hard to see. I mean, either way, I was happy that we just tied the game up. And you know, with a minute or so left. So that was nice to, you know, not be on for an empty netter against, but to finally get 1-6-on-5.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, probably when you woke up today, your last thing you worried about was whether or not you get credit for a hat trick, I guess.
Yeah, no, obviously we wanted to play better as a team. And, you know, a really important thing today was with Garrett and him coming in here this morning and obviously inspired us as a group. And it's awesome that they were able to do this. The organization does a great job with things like that. And it was fun to be a part of something like that.
Here we are looking at, of course, Tyler Bozak, the three goals, and talking about Garrett Gamble, as he called him, the G-Man. Nice story. The young man from Duck Lake, Saskatchewan, is that it?
Duck Lake, Saskatchewan. Absolutely right. And
11 years old.
At least I was there as part of the press conference this morning when Peter Horacek did address the media, and they introduced Garrett there as, signing him to the one-year contract. And
one day.
Oh, yes.
I don't mean to jump on it. But
sorry. Thanks for correcting me, by the way. make the whole entire world know that I made a mistake. But I don't know. I don't believe in karma or any of those types of things. But when you do nice things and good things and you put things into perspective for people, it is nice that, you know, the team comes away with a win for this kid. And it's a nothing game, and yet it just really makes the day and the experience for this young man very, very memorable. And again, like some of the players that just mentioned, Tyler Bozak, just saying that because, again, Bozak's from Saskatchewan. So little things like that, I think, are a very nice way to end the night.
It was set up with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and yep. Tyler Bozak was either his favorite Leaf or one of his favorites and showed a picture of him. So you mentioned the karma, not just for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but for Tyler Bozak as well. And when his dad was interviewed by Cassie Campbell-Pascal, you know, his dad was, as you would expect, just someone who's thrilled what's going on. But also, this is when the Leafs were losing, and he just said, Leafs Nation, you know, keep believing in whatever. And, boy, his parents, in their situation, they talk about believing and belief and dedication and all these other things. And to put it in a hockey sense, you know, maybe the karma that way, too, because after that, the Leafs came back.
But the optimism of most people, Gordon, and you would – you know, certainly attest to this is yes. Like, think about the fact is that we put so much emphasis on a game, on a city, on a team, and all that kind of stuff. We get carried away with it all emotionally. I mean, you and I, same thing, invested in just the way things have unraveled, unfolded, and everybody lives, breathes, and eats it. But here's a family that loves the game of hockey. But again, this is what's important in life, and yet there are better days ahead. They've endured and lived through it. There'll be better days in Leaf Nation. When? I'm not really sure, but for the moment, for tonight, it was a good night.
And I saw the press conference, too. I was doing the Leafs TV show in the morning, so Peter Horchuk was great. I mean, I think a lot of people, but just it just seemed like, you know, I think he's at a good place now, given that he knows what his professional destiny will be after this year.
He's accepted everything, and he's I think, felt good about what he's put, the effort he's put through to these guys as best he can. I don't think he's cutting any corners as far as just preparation. He's working hard. He's trying to do everything he can to get these players to perform at a level that they're capable of. It hasn't worked out, but nonetheless, I think he's going to hold his head high. And I think a lot of people around the National Hockey League as well. I mean, he'll forever probably be an assistant coach at some point, but anyways, I applaud Peter Horchuk for the demeanor and the approach that he's taken from his entire time during this losing streak.
Well, a really good friend of ours has had a great run as an assistant coach. Mike Kitchen was the head coach of the St. Louis Blues for a brief period of time, and now wearing a Stanley Cup ring as an assistant to Joel Quenneville with the Chicago Blackhawks. So talking about that, we will get to the out-of-town scores in a few minutes' time, but now let's hear from Terry Koshin joining us, of course, from the Toronto Sun, covering the Toronto Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League. And Terry, I always appreciate you being on. It's nice to be talking about a win a game and again, and certainly an exciting finish.
Yeah, and you know, I was listening before I came on, guys, and you know, one of you had mentioned about a nice change for the players to be able to talk about a win after and you know, answer some different questions. And yeah, it's a great break to go in there and ask them some things about winning a hockey game, and you know, a lot of I think some positive angles tonight with the way that line played and Bozak's first hat trick. And then, you know, whether you believe in karma or not, Ozzy discussing all that. And they bring in Garrett Gamble, sign him to a 1-day contract. They give him number 42 because he loves Tyler Bozak from the same province.
Yeah.
We all know what happened. And then you have Eric Brewer, you know, 1,000 games, then a week later scoring a goal in overtime. And he certainly hasn't done that a lot in the National Hockey League. And, you know, the icing on all of it is that you don't drive a nail into the Ottawa Senators' playoffs hopes, but you certainly have them in a little bump here with the Bruins winning earlier today. And you earn a point or take one away from them, however you want to put it, that they really needed. So, yeah, we haven't had many of these nights, of course, at the Air Canada Centre this season, but I think it was a good break for everyone involved.
Terry, let's stay on the subject of the Ottawa Senators. It's been a remarkable run for them with Dave Cameron behind the bench, Andrew Hammond in net. You know, they came back to reality the other night against the New York Rangers, you know, took it on the chin. But were you surprised at all? And did this give you a feel in the third period? And, you know, we give the Leafs credit, but did you get the sense that here we go again for the Ottawa Senators' perspective, that Maple Leafs' inability going back to the Jacques Martin days, that it felt like that, at least for me. And again, this could be a costly point for them in the stretch run.
Well, you know, I didn't really have that when it was 3-1, when Ottawa scored that the third goal was a power play goal, if I'm remembering correctly. And certainly when Bozak got the second one, guys, yeah, I mean, you know, the Leafs, you know, Peter Orchak pulling Reimer fairly early, which, you know, is becoming the norm now in the National Hockey League, and more than 2 minutes to play. And the funny thing about that was, of course, in that whole sequence with Reimer on the bench initially, there were some, you know, some scary moments for the Leafs where it looked like the Senators were going to gain control of the neutral zone. And I think at one point there, it looked like Kyle Turris was going to come out of the Ottawa end of control of the puck. And I think it was Morgan Rielly who recovered to ensure that, you know, nothing happened past the center ice. But, you know, you haven't really got the sense much at all of, you know, certainly in the second half of the season, of anything going the Leafs' way. But given the history that they've had with Ottawa, and, you know, it's been a few years now, I think, since the Senators have won in the ACC. Like I said, when Bozak got that second goal, you thought, okay, well, this one certainly isn't over. And sure enough, it wasn't. But again, you can't drop the script where here's Bozak with that great shot in the slot in overtime, then Brewer scores. I mean, 4 points for Bozak and a great finish for him. But yeah, the Senators, I don't know, guys. I mean, the Andrew Hammond story was a great one. Obviously, I think we all know that, the streak that he had. But I think you're going to see this team come down to earth a little bit now. And my expectation is the Boston Bruins will claim that eighth and final spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, certainly with what happened, the Florida Panthers had a lead against the Montreal Canadiens, and they lose in overtime as well. So it did seem to go the Boston Bruins' way today. I get, of course, we'll have to see, the rest of the games have to be played out, but I get a sense that this win, and maybe even what happened yesterday with Kessel and Booth in some degree, that it's almost like when I like bottomed out and bounced back a bit, and maybe the last whatever number of days can be on a little bit more upbeat note for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is nice in itself, because it's been a place you basically tiptoe around the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, it's about bloody time, Gord. I mean, it's, you know, because Peter Horacek's been beating that same drum for weeks on end now, and nothing was happening. I mean, you know, a lot of the same questions being asked and this sort of thing, but a lot of the same things are happening on the ice, and the wins weren't coming. And I realized that there were a lot of one-goal losses and amongst the a lot of these setbacks and that sort of thing. But the fact is, the Leafs just didn't want it badly enough, and you know, they do get the Ottawa Senators one more time, so that's good for them in their final half dozen games here. But yeah, you'd like to think that you know, that things, you know, can end a bit of a positive note too. But you know, fact is, it's one game, and you get what now? Tampa Bay coming in on Tuesday, and you know, then into Buffalo on Wednesday night. So it's you'd like to see a carryover. But certainly we haven't seen a lot of that, even in the games that the Maple Leafs were losing, where you thought that maybe the effort was a little bit better than it had been, to come back the next night or 2 nights later, wherever it would be, and there wouldn't be that continuation. But you know, there also haven't been a lot of wins to continue on, just six under Peter Horacek before tonight. So you know, we'll see. I mean, certainly they were due for it, and that Bozak line was due for it. I mean, you know, the funny thing about that line too, guys, with all of the scrutiny that there has been, and rightfully so, you know, there were 25 shots on goal for that group in the previous couple of games. So they have been, the chances had been there. And tonight, they, you know, that dam or whatever you want to call it, finally burst. But, you know, Tuesday's going to be a new night for them, and we'll see what happens.
Terry, I want to further expand on your article earlier today and give you an opportunity to just, you know, comment or at least give the listeners an opportunity to log on to TorontoSun.com for your article on Nazem Kadri. Again, a chance to be a leader. And,
right.
And again, I think I've made myself pretty clear on my opinions of Nazem Kadri, but an opportunity for you to further clarify when you look up and down, that's one thing that's been lacking in this particular organization or group of players. And what's there to suggest or things that you have seen that would even put Nazem Kadri in a position to even be one of those type of guys, which you'd have to convince me and maybe sell me some of that oceanfront property that I have in Albuquerque.
Well, you know, I'm not convinced by any stretch of the imagination that he can be that for the Maple Leafs. You know, I know that Peter Horacek had said to us yesterday that, you know, the test for Kadri now are these final seven games after given everything that's happened with him in the past 3 weeks with, you know, the two suspensions. And I'm not sure that it's there, but really it's not about now. It's about, you know, I don't think he can set much of a foundation for the 2015-2016 season in the final, you know, 2 weeks of this regular season. Kadri, I think, is going to have to be one of those players next year because, you know, a lot can happen in the offseason, guys, but, you know, my belief still is, and it is for a lot of people, that the goal of management will be to move forward and break up a lot of this core group. Certainly some of the players we've already been talking about, as well as Dion Phaneuf, I wouldn't necessarily think that they're going to be Maple Leafs next season. And it will, you know, it will be handed to players such as Kadri to you know, I don't know if turn this around is the right way to put it, because I don't think that it can be done next season, no matter what happens. It's going to take some time, but certainly try to put some pieces in place. Now, have we seen that from Kadri yet? Not really, because he's still making decisions on the ice that aren't beneficial. Has he become a better player, though, all around? He's getting there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The underlying numbers show that he is, but there still needs to be plenty more. And, of course, you know, this isn't even discussing the off-ice issues, which are not going to be turned around in the 3 weeks it has been since he was late for that meeting, or 3 weeks tomorrow morning, that led to that three-game suspension. So, you know, they might need him to be a bit of an emotional leader by default. Now, he does. I think he does have that in him. He is that type of guy. He does care, and it's about channeling that now in the right direction. But, you know, no matter what happens in the offseason, gentlemen, it's not going to be all about Nazem Kadri next year. He will be part of some sort of core going forward. You know, we're not sure how much of the present one will be left, but it's not just going to be all about him. But, you know, he's going to have to demonstrate a lot of the things that, you know, he really hasn't yet.
Well, we appreciate it being all about Terry Kocher in the last number of minutes. Terry, thanks as always. We'll look forward to your coverage tomorrow in the Toronto Sun, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Terry Kocher joining us from the Toronto Sun. When we come back, we'll take a look at out-of-town scoreboard. And as mentioned, a couple games still going on, but always playoff implications in both the Eastern and Western Conference. We'll hear from Eric Brewer and James Reimer as well. Eric Brewer getting the game-winning goal, a 4-3 overtime win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Court Stelic, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like old times, once again at Air Canada Centre, Eric Brewer. The call of Bob Cole, the overtime winner, a 4-3 overtime win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. We'll hear from Eric Brewer in a few minutes' time. And James Reimer as well, the winning goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And Ozzy, the much-anticipated, much-awaited, award-winning out-of-town scoreboard. A number of games from this afternoon. We'll get to those as well, but we'll give people a run through what happened outside of Toronto's 4-3 win.
Yeah, lots of playoff implications, Gordon. Only one game left to be finished or concluded this evening, and Vancouver holds on to a 2-1 lead at home with about 4 minutes to play against the Dallas Stars. Dallas opened the scoring. Jamie Benn, another terrific season for him, goal number 28. Nick Bonino in the first period tied the score, his 14th, and then in the second period on the power play, Chris Higgins with goal number 11. So stay tuned. The Western Conference there, specifically in the Pacific Division, Vancouver holds on to a 2-1 lead.
Well, stay tuned for some finals. We'll start with tonight's game. Well, no, we'll mix them all together. How about that? Nashville, Washington. I'm leaving you, Rangers, Boston. That was the bigger game, I guess. Nashville, Washington, a 4-3 victory for the Nashville Predators over the Washington Capitals. Matthias Ekholm is 7th. Mike Fisher is 18th. Philip Forsberg is 23rd. Nashville had a 3-0 lead over about a little over 5 minutes there in the first period of play. Later, Mike Ribeiro would get his 15th, which was the last and game-winning goal for Dallas. Troy Brouwer got 2. He's got 20 now. And Mike Green, his 7th. But it's Nashville 4, Washington 3.
Well, you know what? How about the Boston Bruins? This is the return of Henrik Lundqvist into the net for the New York Rangers, first time since February 2nd. But the Bruins off to a fantastic start in that first period. They score 3 times on Henrik Lundqvist. This goal is a little bit controversial. 1:41 into the game, Milan Lucic, his 16th of the season, looked as though, and it appeared that he had directed it in with a kicking motion, but they still ruled it a goal. He then scored a 17th later in that period. Soderberg, his 12th, so 3-0 for the Boston Bruins. Then early in the second period, Riley Smith, his 13th. That was basically all she wrote. A 4-0 lead at home. You'd figure the Bruins could hold on, and they certainly did. Ricky Nash's 40th, and Matt Hunwick in the third period, his 2nd of the season. So a big win for Boston. Moves them ahead of the Ottawa Senators for that final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference with the overtime loss to Toronto. So 87-86 are the point standings. And although the Senators still have a game in hand on the Bruins.
Yeah, but like you said, the Boston Bruins fare the best of those Eastern Conference teams. We're moving on. The Anaheim Ducks, 3-2 winners over the New York Islanders. Rickard Rakell, his 8th. Kyle Palmieri is 14th. And Andrew Cogliano, 14th for Anaheim. For the Islanders, Lubomir Vyshnovsky is 5th. And Casey Cizikas, his 8th.
Over to Philadelphia. And in a shootout, the San Jose Sharks, I believe that they end up going 3-2 on this road trip into the Eastern Conference, and yet too little too late. It's not going to happen for San Jose. They're not going to make the playoffs, Gord. Nonetheless, here are scorers for Philadelphia. Raffle, his 20th. Claude Giroux, his 23rd. For San Jose, Matty Irwin, his 8th. Pavelski on the power play, goal number 36. And Brent Burns had the shootout winner. So 3-2 was the final. San Jose in Philadelphia. There you have it. On to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh as well. All the scoring in the third period, all 5 goals, Pittsburgh Penguins, who've been struggling of late, 3-2 winners over the Arizona Coyotes. Shane Doan hit on Chris Letang in the game, and then Steve Downey took on Shane Doan as a bit of payback. It seems like Letang's going to be day-to-day, which is good news. Shane Doan actually tweeted how horrible he feels about the possible injury, that it was a hockey play, and did not mean to hurt him and felt bad about how it all played out. So we shall see. As we say, the good news is, that for now anyway, it seems day-to-day. For the Penguins, ex-Maple Leaf Daniel Winnick is 9th. The aforementioned Steve Downey is 14th, and Sidney Crosby with the game winner is 25th. For Arizona, Ty McGinn is 2nd. Tobias Reeder is 13th in a losing cause.
Over to Detroit, another afternoon affair, a sold-out Joe Louis Arena where the Red Wings hosted the Tampa Bay Lightning. And by the way, Gord, Detroit has been 3-6-1 in their last 10, and the likes of Boston, Florida, and Ottawa creeping in the Atlantic Division. But it was all Red Wings, a shutout victory for Peter Mrazek in net for the Red Wings. A lot of chit-chat happening as to what's going on with Jimmy Howard. But nonetheless, Anderson is 2nd. Abdelkader, goal number 23. Nyquist is 24th. And Luke Glendening, goal number 11, was a much-needed win for Detroit at home as they continue to hold that third spot in the Atlantic Division.
Well, it's a 3-2 overtime victory for the Montreal Canadiens over the Florida Panthers. Lars Eller, his 12th. Alex Galchenyuk is 20th. And the overtime winner, how about that? Max Pacioretty, goal number 36. He had the game winner in overtime for Florida. Alexander Barkov got both goals. He now has 14 for the season.
A lot of good news out of Carolina, Gord. In spite of the Maple Leafs win, Carolina still maintains a 4-point lead with a couple of games in hand. The lone score for New Jersey was Eliash, his 11th on the power play in the first period. Then Chris Terry, his 9th. Eric Staal, goal number 21. And Justin Faulk, goal number 15. Was all that they needed in Carolina. They defeat the New Jersey Devils 3-1.
Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, was on our Leafs Nation pregame, so maybe that was a good omen for them. The Minnesota Wild that beat Calgary last night did them a favor today by a 4-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings. Nino Niederreiter is 23rd, Mikko Koivu his 13th. Niederreiter again got his 24th. Now Koivu again, so two goal games by Niederreiter and Koivu. Koivu has 14 for the season. The lone LA King goal, Dwight King, his 11th. So Minnesota, a 4-1 win over Los Angeles.
And how about this? With that win by Minnesota, they take over the third place in the Central Division. That means Chicago is one of the wild card teams at 94 points. And I know Chicago hosts, they'll go to Winnipeg tomorrow for an afternoon affair. Eddie Olchuk will be there covering that game. But over to St. Louis, where the Blue Jackets, they haven't mailed it in. They're a 500 hockey team, by the way, right now. And going into the game this evening, they came out on top. They were 4-2 winners in St. Louis, scoring for St. Louis. I'll give you those goal scores. It was Berglund, his 9th. Tarasenko, his 36th of the season. For Columbus, Carlson, his 3rd. Jack Johnson on the power play, goal number 6. Boone Jenner with his 70th. Seventh goal. Excuse me. And Cam Atkinson, who, by the way, had a hat trick the other night, he scored his 20th of the season. So a big win for Columbus. Again, Leaf fans should be happy. They have no chance of moving up anywhere near Columbus.
Well, and I like that the Buffalo Sabres at least reacted publicly. They're not trying to tank it despite what their fans want. And they did lose tonight on the road in Colorado, a 5-3 win for the Colorado Avalanche over Buffalo. For Colorado, Marc-Andre Kleish is 2nd, John Mitchell is 10th, Tyson Berry is 12th, Matt Duchene is 19th, and Brad Stewart is 3rd. For Buffalo, they got 3 goals in the third period. Andre Mazeros scored 2 of them. He's now got 5, and Rasmus Ristolainen got his 7th. 5-3 victory for Colorado.
So that's all she wrote in the in the other town scores. That game in Vancouver, by the way, is the conclusion of the second period. So Vancouver holds on to a 2-1 lead entering the third period of play against the Dallas Stars.
Couple of players still to hear from. We've not heard from Eric Brewer. We heard from him about his 1,000th game, chatting about that. Let's hear from Eric Brewer talking about getting the game-winning goal for the Maple Leafs tonight in overtime.
It didn't look that big. It was more of just a hack fest out there. Puck was bouncing and just swatted one in.
How good does that feel after all you've been through?
Well, it's been a grind. I'd be lying to say otherwise. I think we're starting to play a little bit better. There's certainly work to do, but we stuck with it tonight, which was nice, and just never got too discouraged and continued to play the right way.
And you get to play the role of the spoiler. What does that mean?
You know what? We're happy with the win. I think those are secondary things. You know, they obviously have a lot on the line, and we do too in different ways, but it's just nice to get a win and to play well. So,
simply following the play and or the puck, Eric, to get yourself in front of the net in overtime?
Just trying to create some space behind. I think anytime you get to the net, there's always space behind, which ended up for Bozy. And from there, it was just him making plays like he did all night and getting opportunity for me.
Any overtime winners for you previously?
I had a few, I think.
Yeah.
And a comfort level for you getting a chance to play with Dion regularly. I thought your last game was pretty good as well, and the timing, I guess, in the first period to break up the 2-on-1. Are you seeing a change for you as you get to play a few more games and get more minutes?
Yeah, I think anytime you get into a bit of a groove, it helps. You're learning your systems, learning your tendencies of guys. So I think the continuity helps, and certainly he's a vocal guy, so that helps.
Eric Brewer. And, in hearing the positive jubilation, I forgot about the nicknames, Ozzy, like Bozy and Potsy and Ralph Malph and all that. as he talks about Tyler Bozak. Eric Brewer happy getting that overtime goal. Let's hear from Rhymes, James Reimer, the goaltender, the victorious goaltender tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, obviously we've been through some tough times here, and things haven't gone the way we want them to. But we can pull out a really hard-fought win tonight against our opponent. That's our rival. I mean, it's a good feeling, especially doing in front of our fans and give them a little treat. And you know, it's probably been a while since that. So you know, it's just a good feeling all around.
First line's been kind of taking the beating from the fans and the media with how the tough times they've had. So just looking when you're as close as you are, it must be pretty good for guys like Tyler on a night like this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think tonight, I think our character and our heart and our compete level has kind of been challenged and been looked at, harshly in the last couple of weeks. And I think tonight, starting with our big guns, I mean, they really showed what we're capable of. And it's great to see because, like I said, we've been under fire recently. And for them to come out and have a night like this and have some puck luck, I mean, it was great to see and hopefully it continues.
How about you in a game against Ottawa? The last couple have been hard for you. Tonight was a big one for you to come back against them.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I couldn't get a bounce to save my life, I felt like. But the fact that we got some bounce on the other end, so it was really nice. I mean, it was a game where I felt good. I felt like I was seeing the puck well and I was on my angle and I felt solid. But, a couple pucks were deflecting in and knuckling. And so, but it was good. It was great to win, and that's the main thing. And so I was just happy that, see that fourth one slide in there in the OT.
Yeah, I was going to ask, unless you've been asked before, about the whole atmosphere here tonight when nights when everything went the right way for the team.
It's unbelievable when the fans are getting loud like that. I mean, it's such a boost. I mean, I think there's times in the game where maybe your legs are burning or maybe one line's going hard, so they keep getting put back out there and sometimes your energy's low, and when the crowd's rocking like it was tonight, it feels like you play forever. And so kudos to them, and they gave us a big boost and it was nice to reward them.
Did the team do a better job in the third period of cutting down Ottawa's time and space that they seemed to have in that second period on you?
Yeah, definitely. I thought we came out in the third. I think the second, we weren't too happy with, we played an all right period in the second, but we traded chances, and I don't think we were happy with that. And so in third, they really bared down, and I thought we spent, most of the period in their zone. And even when they did have time in our zone, I mean, like you said, they were blocking shots and cutting down the time and space. And so, it's hard for them to make good plays. And so, kudos to my teammates. They worked their butts off.
Happy for James Reimer through thick and thin. There's been a lot of, of late that hasn't gone his way.
Bad bounces, for a number of months. Bad bounces.
Yeah.
He did. Imagine that's the way you look at things.
So, anyway, you look at it. We've got some games coming up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Obviously, when I say playing out the string, Peter Horacek said they don't want to play out the string. They want to at least compete playing out the string. And first period, I thought not so much tonight, even though it was nothing. Even though they were down 2-0 after two, I thought there was a little bit more compete then. And certainly in the third period, I don't know the last time when we've seen a period like that for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But it's kind of a nice note to end tonight's show on. And for a change, kind of refreshing, reminds us, kind of going back a number of months ago.
Well, you know what, and here's part of the game in which I think we definitely did see, and in particular that first line and how they were engaged, and it just goes to show you how much a confidence has a big part to play in the way in which you approach the game. When you get that first goal or things are happening, and I know this top line started to get more scoring chances the last number of games. I mean, I even go back to that game the other night against Florida, when it seemed as though James Van Riemsdyk was a little bit more engaged, skating, trying to get his feet moving, going to the net a number of times. And then, you certainly know when you do score a goal that you feel like you can go out every shift then. I mean, it's amazing how quickly momentum can change and that mindset of a player. You could be struggling and it just gets worse and worse and worse and more pressure, and you don't think you're ever going to be able to score, but the weight gets taken off your back, and those guys were flying tonight. It was nice to see.
Nice to see. It certainly was. Of course, we will be back here on Tuesday. It's Tuesday, Wednesday. Next week, we'll have Leafs Nation postgame.
Tuesday, Gordon.
But yep. It was a win tonight, yep. And Wednesday. But it was a win tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs, 4-3 in overtime over the Ottawa Senators. So a different Leafs Nation postgame. Fun to do the last couple of hours. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590. The Fan will catch you again on Tuesday evening.
Listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.